Good afternoon, everyone. I think appreciate the opportunity and excellent presentation on the last one on how potentially for many of the issues that we're all dealing with is improving the health and wellness of our community. We can access some funds in a different way as we look at capital and our financial management. So as Dennis mentioned, this has been a five-year journey for us. New leadership at our system. We have four board members here. 5 years ago, they weren't on the board. And basically, we have a new strategy. And we've just been moving down the line on that. And when I got into thinking about the financial management and capital budgeting that normally would be our CFO, I started to go back to our structure. Because it's our structure that allowed us to move forward with having consolidation. And then how we shared information with different groups was very important. We follow a theory that our COO for the system's from Alabama, so he has all these things, and it's heart, minds, and wallets, and how you have to get alignment with all three of them, and that's how their information is presented. And then note, I have financial statements that are actual. I'm going to show on the screen. You don't have them in your packet, obviously, confidential, but just to show some of the difference of intercompany and how things might play out a little bit. So just some of the talking points. Please interrupt me at any time. If there's any questions, keep it interactive. But just our profile, a little bit on our strategy, our structure, a little bit my role, financial management, how we're doing that, how we consolidate our capital budgeting, and then any questions we might have. So just a little bit. I think it's organizational profile is important. Every market's different. Every organization's different. And there's some common pieces. But obviously the external environment allows you to do things differently. We're located in the Space Coast of Florida, so basically what I call the peninsula connected to the larger peninsula, about 600,000 residents there, relatively small for the rest of the state of Florida as far as kind of off the grid. We're small and we're nimble. I've worked for the largest hospital corporation in the world besides the VA, HCA. And I've been a hospital CEO for a Catholic system in four states. This organization, we're at $1.5 billion, which, you know, in other industries that's big, in healthcare that's small. With internal transfers, we're really about 1.7. But we are very nimble, we're consolidated, and we're very integrated because of the size. You see on the health plan where we're at. In 2012, we were at 58,000 lives. So we break down on Medicare Advantage, our individual, commercial, and TPA. Do note, Florida Hospital Care Advantage is our private label. So in 2012, our scaling strategy was not to buy more hospitals, was to expand our health plan and grow population health capabilities. We're the only provider-sponsored plan in Florida, the only one. So we felt that diversified us versus everyone else, which is more so in the hospital game or the commercial insurance, you know, BUCA plan. So Florida Hospital is the largest nonprofit health system in our state. They have 24 hospitals. They're about $8 billion. And so we private labeled them to move us on our journey, which we felt was about 350 to 500,000 lives is what our goal is to reach collectively to give us those ultimate capabilities at a very good cost platform. Flipping through, just more so on our hospitals, we have four hospitals, 900 beds, one tertiary, three community-based. You see our physician groups. And we have most pre- and post-acute assets, hospice, home care, DME, pharmacy. We own fitness centers and so forth. And we insure about 20% of the insurable residents in our PSA. So it just allows us to consolidate and do some things. And our hospitals have 60-plus percent inpatient market share. And then we have 70% brand awareness. When we were looking at IDN partners, I'm sorry. Dennis might need some help here. I got it. I hit the wrong button. When we were looking at IDN partners, we feel the two dot points, market share and brand awareness, has allowed you to move into a market quickly, besides being in a two health system market town. So we feel that those are important. 60% of our health care claims are paid to our system. And sort of like Henry Ford, we want to move forward on raising that. And then on the other side, 30% of our revenue on our delivery system is from our health plan. And our S&P rating currently is an A with a stable outlook. So just to give a little bit of texture of our marketplace and what it allows us to do. So on the IDN, if you're an integrated delivery network, does your structure, your leadership roles, your information dissemination and your processes, does it reflect your IDN strategy? And I think that's where when I started to get into our consolidation of financial information and capital was more along the lines of our structure and how we approach things. I was at a recent conference in one of the larger IDNs in the country. So when I say integrated delivery network, because our organization is far to the right, that means that the health system has a risk-bearing entity, period. Not an ACO, risk. They hold premium. They're responsible for premium. That's the definition in our mind of an IDN. So one of the leading IDNs in the Northwest, I met a physician in a medical group that spoke at a meeting. He was asked to be the CEO of the group by the system CEO. They were going to move, it was about 10 years ago, down the IDN strategy. And he said, "Will you be the CEO of the medical group, quit practicing, and then be on my senior executive team to be an IDN?" He said, "Sure." So he goes to the first meeting. After the meeting, he walks out. He says, "You know you're not an IDN when 80% of the representation in the room is from the hospitals. And we're talking about the hospitals. And we're feeding the beast of the hospitals in the brick and mortar." So I think that we look at that in what we do as far as our structure, and that it's well represented, and then how that trickles down again into what we do as far as our processes, whether it's financial, clinical, or so forth. If you've seen us present before, this is our strategy. It's a talking point. It's in every boardroom. Our employees see it, and we use it with our community. Just a one-pager, just how we're focused as a system, as everyone in this room is, on quality, stewardship, and customer experience. And our goal is to be in the 90th percentile for everything that we do. Yes, ma'am?
Just as a point of reference, as we go
yeah.
through this. Just for a reference point, as you go through your presentation, does the health plan have contracts with any other hospitals besides Florida Hospital?
Yes.
It does?
It does.
And then Florida Hospital also has contracts with other health plans?
Well, it's mixed, so as you get that. In our home market, we don't contract with any MA plans but our own. So if you want Medicare Advantage, and we hold 60% of the MA market share in our county. We're 70% on the inpatient and our physicians. We touch 1 in 7 people in our county for health care. You want MA, you have to come to us. We won't participate in other plans. Same thing basically with individual. We hold 80% of the individual market share of insured lives. We take one other plan where they have 500,000 lives. We have 18,000 lives from that component. So if that Florida Hospital is a little bit different, is they do take all MA plans, but they don't take other individual plans. And then they contract with all the other insurers. Does that answer your question? It's a little bit of a mixed breed by market. And Florida Hospital, when our insurance plan was started in 96, it was the first MA plan in the county. So since 1996, the health system's never taken any other MA plan. It just said we were going to grow our own, and that's going to be our advantage. Excuse me? No. I mean, ask if we've got pushback from the community. No, when we purchase physicians and we tell the members you have to move, we bought 126 physician group with 63 primary cares when we moved all their members, which they you know, represented almost a third of the other 50% of the market share for MA. There was some complaints there that we do that. Now when we do that, we just purchase 6 primary cares. We give it about a 1 or 2 year move. The problem is our hospitals don't participate with Medicare. So they can stay with our primary care we just purchased, but you can't use our facility. But we're trying to work around that. We're trying to work around.
You also contract with hospitals north and south.
Correct.
Of your own system.
Correct. Yeah, we contract with other hospitals in that county. Our county 70 miles north to south and 17 miles wide and a lot of coastal piece. There's hospitals outside of the tip of our primary service area where we contract with them and have relationships with them as far as an IDN and keep them exclusive for certain things on radiology and outpatient surgery and so forth. So, but the piece that I wanted to cover here as far as our strategy that our organization is committed, starts at our board level, is our health plan is the integrator of the integrated delivery network. So that is the name we call it. It is the integrator of our hospitals, our physicians, and our outpatient and wellness division. It integrates a component by holding premium. And that's in our model, and then just some other things on how we approach. So this is something that's our organization is committed to and is organizationally known from hospital CEOs to the corporate to our staff. I put this in your packet, and I know it's very detailed, and not to go through it, but more so on the org structure that is IDN based and its system level. It's very complicated because it's matrixed. If on our CFO, Chief Financial Officer, all the CFOs report to him. So the health plan CFO does not report to the CEO. The health plan COO doesn't report to the health plan CEO. The operators report to the COO, all of them. The finance people all report to the CFO. The strategy, in my strategy officer role, all the CEOs report to me for strategy. And we meet, and there is no competing priorities. We meet, we have a plan, this is it, comes from the board, and we do things in an organized fashion relating to that. Even product development, which I know is a little bit different. As a strategy officer, I've overseen the product development and the approval for the health plan products. I don't get into the actuary piece. The CEO does that and leaves that with the COO. But as far as how we're connecting with our IDN, does it fit the strategy, especially when it gets into rate concessions either way? What is bottom line, and I'll cover a little bit later on how we look at that from an IDN level. It's our IDN bottom line that we're focused on, and we need to produce a bottom line as a nonprofit and a safety net health system in our community for capital generation. That's it. So, right, we're not publicly held, we're not paying shareholders, and we're not paying huge bonuses to the executives. We need to do it to reinvest and continue to take care of our community. So just a little bit on our org structure there from a system level. And I just wanted to put, Kathy asked me to note a little bit on my dual role as far as it. So this is when I first came as chief strategy, is I'm responsible for the construction, not the strategy. Was to plug the pieces together of the IDN. And when I first came, everything was siloed. So the previous board and leadership did an unbelievable level at a national level of collecting assets. They had a health plan, hospitals, hospice, home care. We had the 9th EICU in the country, physicians. We have 4 fitness centers before time. Nothing the corporation was holding, and everything was on an individual bottom line. And capital was disseminated basically on your net revenue share. You got your little piece every year, and that's what you got. Which was, I think, times were good, and that's the way things were done. And then so we came in to consolidate it. So construction of the IDN, and then we moved into the CEO piece of the health plan. So we've had 2 CEOs, and as we looked at a third, our health plan is the integrator of our IDN strategy. And I remind the health plan team, or for which I'm the CEO, obviously, the hardest piece for us to integrate has been the pulling the health plan in. So that's been the hardest piece, is don't call someone for a PMPM. Let's not outsource anything. Let's talk to our IDN, our physicians, our hospice, our home care. You know, I'll show a little bit later. Our home care delivers at-home sleep studies. We have 4 very profitable sleep centers that everyone goes to, but our health plan members don't. Our home care team, unreimbursed basically, does the delivery. And we do that as an integrated system. So So it was decided by, worked with the board, that this role, for the time being, was going to do the health plan CEO role. The note I have on here is, I have a new COO and CFO. Wonderful. COO is Blue Cross and United. CFO is Blue Cross and AvMed. And it takes me a year to get them to think IDN. Is you got to think about going across the IDN and saying, I need this done to basically help our membership out and do things. And I'll give a little reflection on that, hence the structure. So on the consolidation of our financial management was to create one IDN financial management structure. So, and I'll get into the some of the information, and lower the per unit cost of service delivered. We are hyper-focused on this. We're hyper-focused on Medicare Advantage, and we think cost. Price is a problem in U.S. healthcare, and part of that is you have to lower that cost to get that price down. So coordination among our divisions, best care at the lowest cost for our health plan members, and one of my personal ones that I've been leading for a couple years is reduce interorganizational waste. And since I've become the health plan CEO, it's really become apparent. So three divisions this year, we are moving to a prepayment, or capitated, if you will, but more prepayment model. So DME reports to me retail. 98% of our DMEs are health plan. I have 6 billing people we pay in DME to build a health plan. I have 7 FTEs in our medical group that fight denials from the health plan. Done. Our finance team is leading that. And we know we have to have information to be compliant, and we know we have to have transactions in there, but we can do this smarter. Yes?
So on DME, just as a specific example, 98% of the business within the DME is the health plan.
Correct.
So you don't participate in Medicare?
Nope. We do not. We didn't.
You're out of the competitive bidding.
Yep, we did not think it was at a price point that we wanted to participate in. So that's part of the process. So radiology, DME, and our medical group, as we worked on the radiology piece, we finally got rid of AIM last year. Was another one of my initiatives. We were paying AIM to authorize high cost imaging in our medical group, and it was just like, it's only variable costs that we're talking about here. We're probably paying AIM more than I'm paying on a variable cost if I would have done the scan. So we moved them out, and now it's our financial division that's really starting to drive this. It's taken hold among them to say, how can we do this? And again, I didn't highlight, our strategy as an organization is we ensure 20% of the population is get to 40 to 50% in the next 5 to 7 year period. And that will allow us, as value base goes down and some of the fee-for-service incentive goes away, that we have more aligned incentive there. And then we prioritize our finance and our capital functions as an IDN. There is no allocation by division, and I'll walk through that a little bit. It's basically highest and best use. And obviously we have hospitals and their infrastructure, and obviously the health plan, and the med group, and our outpatient and wellness, and you know, we're a nonprofit community health system with 70% share. We have a responsibility. We take care of everyone. When I worked for HCA, they did wallet biopsies, right? You come to the ED, they biopsy your wallet. Do you have an insurance card? You stay. If not, you go to the Catholic or nonprofit health system down the street. We take care of everybody, and to do that. Our finance structure, again, more detail. It's IDN-based. The thing that I wanted to highlight, so the medical group CFO sits here. It's a direct report to our CFO. Our health plan CFO sits here, direct report. Our director of budgeting and capital is there along with the hospitals. So our CFO has the entire structure. This is my third organization working in a highly matrixed group. That's how I got recruited, and then I moved with the CEO to the current organization. And, you know, when our CEOs, no matter who it is, our hospital, health plan, usually have two FTEs that report to him, the CMO or VPMA, and their executive assistant. That's it. So you have to be comfortable that you are leading through influence, not through, you know, hierarchical org structure. To do that, because the CFO, I mean, I work with our CFO all the time, multiple, but more so in the, you know, QHP filing was yesterday before I flew out, and I work directly with them. But at the end of the day, he does. He reports to our CFO, and it's just a matrix structure we have, and then they get together and they meet, and that communication starts to flow. So our focus on financial consolidation process began 3 years ago. And we really looked at the information that was being distributed at an IDN level. And we first started with directors and below. We have a large, many of health systems might have it, where we have all directors and above, managers and above, come to one meeting. And we used to show the financial statements. And I'll show it later. Our medical group, like most, lose money when you strip all the ancillaries out of them. Not when they were private, they tend to do that. And we started to ask the question, how does that feel every time for the medical group to be sitting there and they're showing a loss? It's always a loss. I mean, I don't know. We asked the question, how would you feel if you were, you know, well, the loss is not as big a loss, but it's a loss. And then our tertiary hospital is where most of the money's always been made. And some of those people let you know that. You know, especially when capital came out, that it was out to, you know, so this is among some of our leaders. So our COO started to say, we have the hearts in our mission. We're nonprofit. We're population-based. We're doing it. We do incentivize them very well on aligned goaling. We have a merit-based plan. There is no just you get your 3%. You get 0 to 6 based upon your department's performance. What we don't have is the mind, and it's because of the information that we're sharing. And so we decided to move on director and below. No more business unit NOIs, so no hospitals, no health plan. Move to an IDN scorecard and key performance indicators. The vice presidents and above, they should be able to handle it. They get P&Ls, and we do a normal, I don't know, it's been in every organization I've been, we do our normal monthly financial call where we go through our finances by business unit, by hospital, by health plan, and go through what it was to goal. To make things even more complicated, which is another presentation, 2 years ago, we stopped budgeting. So we moved to the first one in the country was Fairview Health System out of Minneapolis, that we moved to a forecasting model, which was much more similar to what I had when I worked in HCA. So we take our run rate every 90 days, we see where the run rate is, forecast moves up, they move down, and then when we get to the annual end, we go plus and we go minus. What ads are you making next year? What's going away? And we got away from the labor intensive, let's count all the pencils in the cup every year and restart this process. So that's just to add in there for a little bit of texture that we did this at the same time. So as far as in that, that took a little adjustment, but we're on our way from that perspective. So this is in your packet. This is a IDN-based scorecard that, at a high level, our employees, directors and below, this is what they receive to let them know what the organization's like. And as most of you know, you don't need to know what the net income is. I mean, I know when I used to run a hospital, I can tell you by my volume, really, and by my labor on where my costs were, that basically if I was going to make budget, it's the payer mix was a curveball, how I did it. With the health plan, there's also leading indicators, right, that you can kind of look at. So if you, this scorecard basically highlights our quality, no harm, our stewardship, and our customer experience across our health plan, on our beneficiary complaints, our MLR, our customer experience, and you go down to our hospitals, our 30-day, you know, our readmission rates. And so this was a change for our staff to say, you're not getting financial statements anymore. You're going to be given information, which at a senior executive level, or and our board gets many, many of these, besides the financial statements, much more detailed on scorecards. We're big into scorecards. You can tell the health of the organization, and just by a scan view, there's more solid blue, which means you're above goal. Half shaded means you're within 5% below it, and then if it's not shaded, you're off goal. That we're doing pretty well organizationally this year, and this also brings up some other things on the IDN. If you can see it on there, our medical group goal of reducing FTEs per provider has been a real discussion, because when that was set by them at the beginning of the year, some of the health plan people and other people said, well, that's going to restrict access. So now it doesn't say it on the card. So that's for back office FTEs and some other things where the reduction is there. So the other information we share is our KPIs. So we went through the process and we put key performance indicators. That's the health plan's KPI. So those are our KPIs for our health plan. So basically our revenue, which is going to get you to net income, our revenue, where we're at our current month, where we're at year to date. In the far right-hand side, the FYTD is where we should be through 7 months, fiscal year to date. On the forecast, because we're comparing to 16. When you get rid of the budget, we try to stair-step everything from the prior year. So that's part of the stair-step process, is we just want to continue to improve. Oh, you don't have that page. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, these are some of the ones we took out. Sorry about that. I do apologize. All right, sorry about that. These can't give out some of the financial information, especially with some of my board members here, and our finance chair sitting there disseminating. So revenues PMPM. Our medical expense without shared savings, that's another thing. We have shared savings with our delivery system. So we're, you know, as far as what for various programs, our medical loss without shared savings, and then what our administrative ratio is. So this is what our staff sees, and this is what they get distributed to them from the health plan and then throughout the rest of the organization. So the hospital, the medical group, they receive this information. There's our hospital division. So they get that as far as our net revenue, case mix adjusted, our salary and benefits for our staff. So sorry, I'm shaking that. Where we were at, you know, and where we're at year to date, and then some of our goals, and then basically some of our discharge information. Our medical group, same thing. Where I mentioned before, where our support FTEs work. And then our board, our senior executives, and our vice presidents, that's a roll-up of our organization. So this is through April. And this, and I'll show in the next one, is the number we're focused on. So we feel our organization needs to produce 3.5% to 5% NOI as Inc. annually to fund the capital needs for our community. So that's what we need to do that. And we have so far for 5 consecutive years, but that has our premium revenues in there, about $580 million, our patient care revenues. And then this is by division, so that they do see that. So whether those are our 4 hospitals, as you can see, one of them at $40-something million, which tends to make it. As I mentioned, as we go through some of our other ones, the reason why home care, our home care loses money on paper. As of today, we have 1,980 ADC in our home care. I texted the leader, 56% health plan. And on the FMV, we pay the lower rate of the cap. So again, we're trying to take population and we're trying to take market share. So when this used to get flashed all the time, we used to hear from employees, when is the health plan going to pay us more? And we'd say, well, that's not part of our mission. Our mission is this 3.8 here and how we do that. So we need home care. They're doing some things for our members that are really, you know, $125 for at-home sleep study versus, you know, whatever our cost is for someone to be at night. I know what we charge regular insurance companies, $1,500, $2,000 to do that. Same thing with our DME. You see a loss. And we pay corporate overheads in here. So a standalone business, they'd make it if you took it out of car. I mentioned DME. They're mostly us, but the loss. They're providing a service. We price it out every 2 years. We are 5% below anybody that we can get a quote from. And they pay corporate overhead of about $500,000. So we measure that. We had that with Florida Hospital. And our last one was our family pharmacy. We adjusted that this past year. So this year, they're going to make, they're through 7 months, they're at $700,000 after corporate overhead. Their profit margin was $4 million, and they're 98% off the health plan last year. We've gotten really efficient in our benefit design, where we do 20,000 mail orders ourselves for medication meds. So we took that $3 million and we basically passed it back to the health plan. Because we said, we're not in the business of making money in family pharmacy off the health plan. We need to drive that back into holding our benefit structure and ensuring more lives across our IDN. And then you see our health plan here, $2.4 million this last month, year-to-date six, and where we're at. And this is where our ink is at, that's where we're focused. So 3.8, as I mentioned in the forecasting world, we're at 3.1 was the original forecast this year, and year-to-date we're at 3.6. So we just, at the last board meeting, we raised that to 3.4. So 3.1 was a little bit low. We lost stars 2 years ago. That's affecting us this year. We did pick it back up. So and we had double bonus that we lost. So that's where our drop in our financial statements. And luckily, we picked them both back up next year where we have stars and we qualified for double bonus in our main county. But as you can see from a health system financing perspective, last year the health plan did $18 million in net income. So you can just take that right off the top from that perspective. So on our financial management consolidation, so any questions on the KPIs at all? So we started to ask, how do we accomplish IDN prioritization? And so this is recent. Some of our board members here, we're heavy in defense. Our finance chair, John Breitfeller, former CFO of Northrop Grumman. So, manufacturing, engineering, and we started to learn about another presentation, which may have been given on the capabilities management maturity model. And so we moved to a council structure. And again, because we're small, so our strategy council has all strategies within the organization, and that's the business unit CEOs. And then our ops council has all the COOs or quality in our nursing. Each component meets weekly. We replaced the system meeting where everybody got together, and we meet less of them, and then we meet more with this. And then we also have a clinical council, so where the physicians get together and they discuss things. When we have access problem in the health plan with primary care, on an ongoing thing, it gets thrown at that table. The COO of the health plan brings it, and the medical group is there, and he brings it to our system COO, and our system COO says, I need a plan, and I need it next week. We need access. We need it now to do that. And the same thing that we look at strategically, that we don't have different parts of the organization going in different ways that might... It may or may not affect the health plan, but at the health, we're pulling in the same way, and that we're not contradicting each other. So consolidation for prioritization, and again, our capital spend is about $70 million per year. Here's a little bit of the gate process. So above that's our system team, but really, all the strategies come from our strategy council. Everything goes to our operations council. They don't get to opine on whether it's a good strategy or not. They have to put cost to it. CapEx, OpEx, and do we have the resources to have it done? Our CIO sits in there. And then we move, which I'll show you, to basically major project prioritization, which has been one of the real, as you get into the finances, your infrastructure only allows so much. I mean, if somebody in the back worked with John and they got whatever, $200 million for next year, unless you're going to pay for new infrastructure, does your organization have the capability, the IT bandwidth, the HR bandwidth, facilities and construction bandwidth to implement that? Have a question? Okay. So major project prioritization, it's combined somewhat with capital. We kind of know where that capital piece is at. It almost answers that question. If it's gone through major projects and, you know, hit strategy, clinical councils opined on it, operation councils put a cost to it, it hits our major projects, and then we sit basically as a board of major projects, and that has about 20 people. And there's a lot of people in that room, a lot of VPs. You have nursing, you have quality, you have physicians, you have strategy, you have operations, all looking at the prioritization, looking at the ROI, CEO, to say which ones are the priority. Here is one of the sheets on how it looks. And you see at the top for this one active, this is a sheet that's been approved earlier this year, started at the beginning of this year. So the health plan started on there was we have GE, Centricity in our medical group, and we need care manager to optimize closing care gaps better. And we need it before October 1st, which is usually when our push is on our gaps to have that in place. And then you go through our hospitals, whether it's our PAC system, an $8 million thing that's we need to replace that. So that's how we prioritize things more at a system level. I don't have the slide here. There's two things that get capital up front every year off the $70 million. Was 15, now it's down to 10, goes to IT for IT infrastructure. And there's a subcommittee that makes a recommendation. That's routers, that's hardware, that's we had a problem with keeping the IT lights on when we first got there. And we'd have you know, this hospital going out, something else not working. So they get that, and then they have to bring a prioritization list. And the next thing is because we're in Florida and we occasionally have a hurricane, we have facilities hardening. And that includes all of our buildings that we put so much, it's not a lot of money, but about $6 to $7 million per year towards our facilities where we have a prioritization list by an outside company to say we have. Other than that comes off the top, everything else goes through a prioritization. Yes, do you have a question?
Where does information management reside?
Give me a little. Well, that's a broad
reporting repositories, that type of structure.
Well, HIM went to the CFO. Decision support, I started and had. So that's all the right business intelligence across the organization. And what's not on here, we had a former board member colleague that is a serial IT entrepreneur. We have a new chief digital officer. So we moved all that. IT's to him, informatics is to him, customer, our consumer facing initiatives as far as our digital platform, all is with the new chief digital officer. So it's all combined. It follows our model. We did have that broken up, and then we moved to a new chief digital officer to consolidate all the strategy and the information technology needs. So data warehousing. Is under him. It was split up before. So all information systems and everything outward facing towards the customer and those strategies. He's leading telehealth. He's leading the EHR. So we just added that resource probably 6 months ago. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Okay. So you see the that's a prioritization on how they go through, and I see that you see, yeah. Data warehouse, I previously had it, but that's an organizational priority. One of the things, obviously, for all, you know, for the IDNs here, to get away from having, we don't have one patient record, is to get our data warehouse mapped. One of our bigger projects over 2 years, this has been, we didn't have a universal patient or member identification number, and we now do, across every single business unit. So we got to get the warehouse built so we can throw everything up there, and then we can pull it down. Across different divisions. Capital projects, this was 2 days ago. There's nothing on the health plan because the health plan is so forward-thinking. They had all their projects in. But this is the same thing. So we have some limited capital left. I think when they walked in the room, there was about $14 million left. And these are some of the proposals that were brought the other day to that. Mostly hospital-based. The one is IT. And so these are the things that they walk through. So why did we begin our evolution? We had to shift from a hospital-based structure. We were not aligned by division, and we had mixed incentives and priorities. And then our administrative results, I think we realize since, is we are on one strategy. I think our teams are on one strategy as far as our employees are concerned and what they see. We do think that we increase our profitability and our capital efficiency. And the last one, the administrative waste of, you know, we've been on this journey for 5 years, but to have some CEO or some member of the organization going down some strategy that's not vetted through the system and coordinated and putting resources towards that, that activity has stopped. So we move forward as an organization. So I apologize. There's a couple typos in there that they sent the draft copy that were in your packet. So I apologize. Any questions I can answer?
Any questions or comments for Drew? And I want to Joe
from the CFO in the room.
Yeah, no, this is inspiring. Yeah. Seriously, I'm blowing my mind. So there's one kind of minor throwaway line that you had. So yeah. You guys don't accept traditional Medicare.
No. Other Medicare Advantage plans.
Oh, okay. All right. Just want to make sure that I
in our main market.
Fee-for-service Medicare.
Oh yeah.
And I also noticed you're not in the Medicaid space.
Correct.
Why is that?
Good question, and we're looking at it with our partner Florida Hospital. We feel that with the infrastructure improvements, we've scaled from 58 to 161, and we're lacking in tools for that today.
Understood.
And we're working with our board to capital prioritization and through this process. And our cycle in Florida is 5 years. So 5 years is the next contract.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're actually looking at possibly buying a Medicaid TPA service, and that's how we'll get in the business.
And all that would go up through your single capital projects?
Well, that one's a little bit different because Florida Hospital, and we might do that as a JV.
Okay.
So it's very preliminary. So we're looking at the Medicaid. We feel internally we don't have the capabilities. We don't like the 5-year window that we might get X'd out. And then Florida has another thing also that we'd be better off not applying with our HMO license. They only let they maximize 5 managed Medicaid players per market, which is multiple counties. And if you're a provider sponsored through your hospital license, you're guaranteed membership. So HMO, I'd have to compete if I go through my hospital organization. So a little bit complicated. We'd like to get in. We don't want to wait 5 years. We don't have the capabilities today to get into Medicaid. We'll be there in 5 years, but we're worried that that window and somewhat what John said, the duals, and we need to get those capabilities quicker.
One other aspect, I think the last time they re-procured, it was a 4-county area, and you were primarily in one. Didn't have a strong partnership.
Right. So now we do with our partnership with the other health system.
Okay.